The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello, and welcome to another Video Games to the Max. I am your host, Sean Garmer, and here with me is, always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
Well, we are, there's more gaming news than I thought there was, after having to go back, you know, I think like half a week that we had already missed, but, this is, wow, it's been that long, jeez, I keep forgetting it had been, whatever. I think it's number 161 for all the episodes here, as I think I forgot to put a number on the last one, so that's why I was confused. But anyway, of course, Comic-Con happened, so we'll talk about some of the trailers that they showed, I guess what we think of those, and some of the TV announcements coming out of that as well. But there's been, of course, some new games to come out since then, namely one called Pyre that came out about 3 days ago, the newest game from Supergiant, which, of course, if you don't know who they are the ones that made Bastion and Transistor, and this one seems to be another hit. They have another hit on their hands. Both of us are playing this. You're a little bit farther than I am, but how are you liking the game?
It seems good. It's pretty different from, like, their past efforts. It still has some of the familiar feel to it, but, like, you're not attacking, like, creatures and stuff like that. You're playing, like, a, like, almost like basketball or a game that's kind of close to what it is.
It's like a mixture of both games, sort of. You have the kind of RPG-ish stuff from Bastion, and the, like, you're walking up and, but you're not attacking anything, and there's sort of the some strategy from Transistor. There's no, like, sort of, like, real-time strategy gameplay, but there is strategy of having to figure out how to get through. I guess I should mention that this game has a story. It's sort of, you're like this person that they find on just like the street.
I think it's supposed to be like hell or like some version of limbo or something.
Yeah, like purgatory. That's what it is. There's people that are trapped and they can't get out of where they are, obviously, because you're in purgatory. So you're like the reader or the player or whatever, but they call it the reader in this game because you have to read this ancient text that tells them where they're supposed to do, and then you kind of let them, you're leading them sort of on their journey to continue to go through levels and beat these other, I guess you can call them teams,
yeah,
of three. And basically, if every team that you beat, you're going up a level in purgatory. I don't know how many of these there are. I've played three of them. You played five, I think.
Four or five, yeah, something like that. Like, I got one new character, so.
New character, too.
The last mission I stopped at, I wasn't, like, a traditional game. It was more top-down. Like, creatures were attacking me, and I had to defend, like, my area. It was different from the normal game.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm glad that it changes after a while. But so, do you like the sort of the base game, the gameplay that's there? I mean, do you like the what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, like getting around is fun. You only control one character at a time out of three. Like the other two just kind of hang, sit there until you like go like select them. Yeah, it feels fluid and good.
I mean, you can like pass the orb around, sort of like that's why, you know, Mark made this sort of NBA Jam basketball comparison is you're essentially trying to get this orb into a hole and you score points every time you do, but you have to get it around the defense sort
Yeah,
of.
like every player basically has like a ring around them, and if you go in the ring, the other player is like goes into like a penalty box for like 10 seconds or something. So it's all about like trying to maneuver your character around these other rings. And when you have the ball, you don't have a ring anymore; it disappears, so you're defenseless.
Yeah, you do have, and of course you have to get rid of the ball in order to, you can pass it to one of your other people that you have in there, and each one of them has different characteristics. Like one of them's fast, the other one is sort of they can jump higher, and the other one's just this big slow mammoth thing, which is
But it,
obviously really powerful.
yeah, it has like a big ring compared to like the small character.
Did you like using like all three, or did you like? I wound up once I got the fourth character kind of liking to have like a sort of faster group.
I like the slow character because I place her at the enemy base, and then they all get wiped out.
That's smart too. Yeah, you can do that. That's what's cool is it does create various ways you can play the game, and there's also skill trees that you unlock after you gain the first level, and you choose one of two skill trees for each character.
There was an old Xbox game called Death Row. I don't think you ever played it.
I do remember the name though. Yeah.
But it was a 4-on-4 sports game, like futuristic sports game, where you're trying to get a flying, like a power disc inside of a hoop, like a floating hoop. And it reminds me a lot of that. And the ironic thing is Greg Kasavin, the guy who wrote the game, who wrote Pyre, he reviewed Death Row like back 15 years ago on GameSpot.
Well, you can see where that all comes from for him, I think. Nice that he draws things from other games. Do you like the characters and the story, sort of? I mean, a
I
lot of
mean
it is sort of just interacting with them.
it's so early on that I can't really tell. I don't know what the you have the PS4 version. I like the PC one. Like there's stuff highlighted in like the text that's kind of like annoying to read. I found. And like the interface doesn't seem quite as clean as it should be. As far as like not sports game parts. Like the sports game like, seems fine, but like the having dialogue options and stuff like that doesn't seem quite as intuitive as maybe I would have liked.
Yeah, it does. It's sort of like you're like a book is happening in front of you, and you get like little definitions of things. I think it works the first time. Once you've already seen the definition for that, if you didn't click on it the first time, I mean, it should just go away and not have that red highlighted text there. But I can kind of understand. Some people might just read along, and then as you get to understand more of what the world is and everything, you might want to go, oh, okay, what is the Commonwealth? And you can highlight over it and find out what that is, or
Yeah. But seems good. I mean, for $20, it's a good game.
yeah,
Or
and
more.
I do kind of like the different characters. You don't, at least where we are, you haven't gotten to find, like, I still haven't found out any of them, like, the reason they're there, which each one of them, you'll get certain parts where if you go back in your little wagon thing that you have, you can talk to a certain one that happens to be there,
Yeah,
and
that reminds.
eventually you get to unlock, like, depending on the dialogue option you choose, which I didn't choose the dialogue option for the one guy that's gotten to that point for me, of finding out why they're in purgatory.
It reminds me a little of like the Banner Saga, where you had like the gameplay part and then like the whole wagon part.
Yeah, that too. But yeah, it's a really good game, and I think people should definitely check it out. You know, at least watch some gameplay, and I totally recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see next, like, we'll play more in the next week and a half and go from there.
So you gotten to play more Final Fantasy 12. I have not.
Yeah, I played actually. I mean, I don't think I'm that far in the game, but I've dumped a lot of hours into it. Let's see. I'm not even sure where I am. Let's see. I think I'm like this Selikowood. I'm in some like forest area.
Okay, yeah. I kind of know where you are. I just.
Or like the high waist. Mossaran High Waist, I think that's where I am also. Or like around that area.
I just had the names.
Yeah. Like, I'm at this point in the story where, like, Vayne killed his emperor dad and has, like, basically, like, tried to take over.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I know where you're at. Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually getting into it. Like, I don't really, like, the story seems kind of neither here nor there, but, like, the gameplay is fine. Yeah.
Do you like the having to sell the loot to get?
Kind of yes and no. I kind of wish you guys got money. But like it seems interesting because like you get the bizarre items, or yeah.
Yeah, that you have no idea what they're worth, and then you go, oh crap! Wow, this is like 5,000 gold.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, I'm unlocking like a lot of the license for it because, like, gameplay. I mean, you just hold like the 2X button down, and your character's just auto battle, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
I did like my first optional Esper battle like last night and took an hour. That sucked.
How you mess with the gambits very much?
Not really. I've tried to lean a little into like the healing stuff just because that seems a little more easier to comprehend. I got a technique for a few characters called Shades of Black, and that casts like a random black magic spell for free. Like it doesn't take MP, and all of my warriors have that, which is kind of funny. So I'm like, half the time I'm not even attacking with Vaughn anymore. I'm just keep like pressing, like keep doing that over and over. And sometimes you get something crappy like, you know, poison or bio or something. But like a lot of times you get like flare or like high level magic spells.
But status elements do actually work a lot better in that game than in other games.
Yeah, so. I'm following this one guide, and the guide is like, you know, pick up this one item. It's like the item is supposed to be like it, like is the reverse of healing items. Like if you cast a potion on yourself, it's supposed to like deal damage to you.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy does like pick up this item and then just cast remedy on a boss and it like cripples them. But the guide I'm following is for basic Final Fantasy XII, not international version, which is what we all have. So right. I don't have the item.
Yeah, I figured that out pretty quick, too, with trying to follow a fact from the old game, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not there. So, I'm going to have to just figure this out, but.
I mean, there are a few, like, I did find, like, a few, like, international version facts, but the one I found was, like, written in, like, half Japanese, half English, and I'm like, this is a little hard to read.
Yeah, that's helpful.
But I do like the, quickening system a lot, like the whole having a like combo off that is pretty good. Mm. Like that's how I killed that Esper. Like the optional Esper is, I did like half damage to it. It killed my party of three people, and then I spawned in the other three characters, and then I killed it with more quickenings.
Nice.
I feel the game feels weird because it's like. It doesn't feel like you should grind much, but on the other hand, it feels like you should a lot.
Yeah, because
I have like a buttload of like license points. I'm just unlocking shit on both boards now, where I'm just doing it just to do it. Like I don't need
right.
anything. I'm like, oh, you can access like the Ultima weapon for like the knight class, and I'm like. Great, that's 30 hours into it where I'll actually get that sword. Like, who cares?
Yeah, by then you're like, Don't care.
But on the flip side, like, actually gaining experience seems to take forever. Or, like, leveling your characters. And so it's kind of a weird, like, push and pull with that stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm unlocking, like, white magic, like, level 11, like, spells. And I'm like, well, I don't have those at all. I barely have, like, a level 6. So, what exactly am I supposed to do here?
Yeah. So you also have a preview code for the Scapist 2.
Yeah. I tried to play an hour or two of it. It has the same problems as the first Escapist, where, like, that game really wants you to think vertically in a prison, like, to dig, or to, like, go in, like, air vents and, like, you know, move around. But, like, it's not conducive to, like, the player that you're supposed to do that. Like, there's a training prison, like, it kind of acclimates you to, like, the controls and everything. And it's like, okay, dig in this area and go under the wall. And I'm like, if you didn't tell me I could do that, I would have never figured this out. Like, so I don't know. Well, like,
and I guess that's the point, though, right? It's telling you. So.
Yeah, but you can't just dig anywhere either. Like, that's
the thing. Okay.
Like, I think there's, like, some special map that shows, like, where you can dig and, like, what areas you can do that in. But that's kind of about it. Like, you do the same stuff as the first game. You, like, try to do quests for people and fashion weapons and, like, better gear for your character and, like, skill up. But, I mean, it seems like, to me, essentially the same game as the first one.
Have been playing anything else?
I finished Nier Automata finally. That was good. Like that game.
So you like the ultimate ending or whatever?
Yeah, I got all the endings. Like the fifth ending is really weird too, which is awesome. Because it's like a Geometry Wars game where you're like fighting against the game credits.
Wow, that's awesome.
And the credits is pretty long to begin with, but then right when it gets to, like, the Square Enix credits, it just gets, like, fucked hard. Where, like, if you die more than, like, 5 times, the game's like, alright, you can call in some people to help you out. And I was like, yes, because I'm never going to be able to beat the marketing department.
Yeah. It's still funny that's in there.
And that trophy store is really nice in that game.
So what's in there? Like,
you can just buy all the trophies.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, we talked about that.
And then you can, like, buy some of the trophies. They're expensive in the game. Buy some of the trophies, reload your save, and then buy more.
Nice. Well, so to run through these quickly, of course, we're basically at the end of the month here, so the free games for both systems are out. The Xbox games for gold is Slime Rancher, August 1st to the 31st. I think you played that game on PC.
No, I just saw videos.
Oh, cool. Okay. Charles Fusion, August 16th to September 15th. That's pretty good. Of course, for the 360, which also works on Xbox One, Bayonetta 1. So, awesome. You get to play Bayonetta on your Xbox One. And Red Faction Armageddon, which is a pretty good...
that's the bad one.
Oh, that's the bad one. Okay. Which maybe they shouldn't have...
You get 3 good games and 1 bad game.
Not a bad churn on that. And there's also the Xbox Game Pass games for August. Remember, they don't start taking games away until November, so these just get added to the pile on there. Dead Rising 3, Limbo, which I don't know why. If you still haven't played that game at this point, you might as well. Dirt Rally, So Many Me, Ultratron, Pharaonic, I don't think I've heard of half these games, and Metal Slug 20, which Metal Slug's always great, so. Yeah. Anything?
I mean, if I had Slime Rancher, or an Xbox One, I'd play Slime Rancher.
The PS Plus is Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry. For PS4, Just Cause 3. On PS3, you have Snakeball, Super Mother Load. And then on Vita, you have Level 22 and Downwell, which Downwell is also crossed by with PS4. So, I forgot about that Freedom Cry thing, so.
I played through it. It was fun. It's like a short experience, but it's fun.
Cool. And you liked Just Cause 3, right?
Yeah, maybe on like PS4 ran is kind of hitchy in spots, but it's a good game.
Well, Nintendo got great news, as, of course, this being the end of quarter two, you have everybody sort of reporting their earnings and stuff. Nintendo now has 4.7 million Switches sold since it released in March. That's halfway to how many the Wii U sold, period. So that should let you know this system is working a lot better. During this fiscal quarter, they sold almost 2 million. So that's also pretty good. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has 3.54 million sold, which means about three quarters of Switch owners have Mario Kart. Legend of Zelda has 3.9, which means 83% of Switch owners also own Zelda, which that's like a no-brainer at this point. And ARMS surprisingly sold over 1 million too, which is... And that was in 2 weeks, from June 18th to June 30th. So that's actually pretty good for new IP for Nintendo on that one.
Sure.
Surprised by ARMS selling that well?
I mean, kind of, because I remember like the reviews for that were kind of iffy.
Right.
So, but it looks like, I mean, it's punch out for the Switch, so... There you go.
That'd be interesting with Splatoon 2, how well that sells.
That'll probably do well.
Speaking of selling, the SNES Classic had pre-orders go up at Walmart last week on a Friday around midnight for about 40-45 minutes. They were there, you ordered one,
yep.
And then all of a sudden they started canceling pre-orders. And sadly, you no longer have an SNES Classic.
Yeah, they canceled like all of them by like Wednesday. And I got like the we're sorry email, and it's like, well, if you're sorry, include some money or something.
I'm sorry. Hopefully, you will get it when they actually do go on pre-order this time.
Yeah, like I'm not super hunting for it. Like I only saw it on Twitter. I'm like, I'll grab one. Like, my intention, if I do get one, is to flip it.
Oh, you're going to flip it? You're not going to keep it?
Nah. Like, I have at least half those games, like, on actual, like, a cartridge. Or at least, like, some of them. And, like, the novelty just isn't quite there enough for me. And I'd be happier with getting, like, $300 for it.
Yeah. You could definitely, you know, use that for something.
Like an actual copy of Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. Sadly, it's probably going to cost about that much, too.
No, Chrono Trigger is like $100. $125.
That's still a lot of money for one game, though. I mean, of course, back then, that's probably might have been what it cost. Like $80 or something.
No, it was like a $50-$60 game.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean... It's just rare now. I mean, they didn't make a ton of copies, and, you know.
Well, speaking of 64, Nintendo Classics, Nintendo has started to go trademark their controllers, and rumors came around that Nintendo trademarked the controller that's pretty much the one, the controller design that's pretty much on the SNES Classic box. And they've also included Nintendo Switch, which obviously is out there right now, the NES because of the NES Classic, and Nintendo 64. So perhaps a Nintendo 64 Classic will be coming.
I don't see that happening for two reasons. First of a technological, like that, I imagine it's harder to emulate that thing than, like, a SNES or an NES. I mean, it's certainly possible, but it's not, like, great.
I have an emulator for the 64 on my computer right now.
Sure, but it requires like, a bunch of plugins and cores and shit. Like, you know, it's not as easy as like a SNES or an NES. That's my thing.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that either this is going to have less games, or you might start running the gambit of this one's going to cost $100, and $20 of that is going to be the.
That was going to be my other thing is like, let's say this thing had like 15 games on it. I can't name 15 N64 games I would want. I can name like 10, but
right.
Not 15 is kind of pushing it. Especially since you wouldn't have access probably to like Donkey Kong 64, GoldenEye's out, obviously.
They could get GoldenEye.
No, they couldn't.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then Perfect Dark, you know, that Microsoft.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they could work a deal out with Microsoft since, you know, they have a deal with them for Minecraft and everything.
Yeah, I mean, sure, because Microsoft could use the money at this point, but, I mean, they just put Minecraft on anything, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the thing, is like about 5 of the games are in that collection. So
yeah, I mean, obviously you'd get like Mario, Mario Kart, both Zeldas, Wave Race, Star Fox, but after like the like obvious
Paper
game,
Mario,
yeah maybe, but after the like, the obvious game, you're just kind of going like, well, can you get Glover?
probably Kirby would be in there.
Yeah.
You know, I think they would wind up having to get the one, even though they were in that Rare replay, they would have to get those games from Rare because that would take up.
Yeah, like Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, like, I mean, you can't have a 64 thing without Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
And Super Smash Brothers, the original, yeah. I mean, I think people are going to want that.
There's like 3 like Mario Party games.
Yeah, you'd have to think that one of the Mario Parties would be in there.
And No Mercy, WWF No Mercy.
Oh, come on. Would WWE let them do it, though? And I don't think they would.
Hell no.
Like, you can That'd do it be if great if they did, though.
You can do it if you remove Chris Benoit.
God, I forgot about that. He's in there, yeah.
But yeah, like the N64 just didn't have a great number of like, you know, good game, super memorable games.
Yeah, like Pokemon Snap and Stadium probably would be.
How are you? I mean, yeah, I don't think Pokemon Stadium would, because I think you need that game.
No, you don't need the. That's just to play the Game Boy games.
Oh.
On there, you can play the thing without that. Rogue Squadron, possibly, and then a Mario Tennis probably would also be in there. But yeah, you'd have a ton of it's Mario this, Mario that, and then some games, but that you're, you know, the F-Zeros as well. But you know, it just they could do it. It's just about how many games are you gonna put in it. And, you know, how much it's going to cost. That's
put Resident Evil 2 in there.
They could. They always have a thing with Capcom.
So. Yeah. That was, like, one of the only few Capcom games for that system.
Yeah. It's true. But I would not be surprised if we see that, honestly. There's a lot of people that have nostalgia for the N64. The problem is, then you would have to make controllers available for it separately. Because that's a 4-player system.
Yep.
So,
I mean, you could buy NES Classic controller separately, too, but...
Yeah. Well, that's because that only came with one. At least with the SNES, it comes with both the controllers, so...
Yeah. But you have to imagine, like, if the controller gets, like, damaged or something, they'll sell you, like, you know, extras.
Right. Square Enix, I mean, they talked about having FF15 having a multiplayer mode for a while, and they finally revealed some of the information about it. It's, the mode's called Comrades. Basically, you can create a custom character. There's eventually going to be something added to where you can play with the main characters if you want. You're going to complete quests, and you can have custom clothing and all that at outposts. And we don't know where it's going to be at, but there is going to be a beta if you bought the season pass from August 3rd to the 8th, so next week. Are you interested?
I didn't even know about this, honestly. I don't know if I really want to play multiplayer Final Fantasy 15 to begin with.
Oh, like, hey, me and you can play.
That's true, but, like, I actually thought the party AI in that game was, like, shockingly good. So
yeah, that was one of the best things about that game.
I don't want some dumbass in the party just, you know, wandering around.
That's true, but hey, it's always fun to have that person with you, you know, because I think a lot of people thought, oh man, I wish somebody could play with me as one of the other characters.
You know that big city, like halfway in the game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I imagine it'll take place like around there.
Probably, yeah. Or in like the like open wooded, the open area at the beginning.
Yeah, maybe. And you see also that they're like finally releasing those like Power Ranger suits.
Oh, really? Wow.
Nice. It's, you can only wear them for a half hour per day because they make you invincible.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And they also call upon the Dragon Zords. No, I'm kidding.
If only.
Yeah, it's weird how much Square has supported that game. Like, not overtly. Like, I know Episode Prompto came out recently, but it's just, like, little stuff here and there.
I think it's probably because they feel like after the Chapter 13 stuff and kind of sort of having to rush the game out there, they feel like they need to.
Well, it's probably like we got the assets, let's use them.
Yeah, that too. But they are creating new stuff in there, like, you know, they're trying to make different playable characters now and add story stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Seems like extra stuff for a game this big. This Marvel vs. There's a lot of. I remember seeing this and going, wow, this does not look like her at all. And then people got so mad at the fact that Chun-Li does not look like Chun-Li in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite that Capcom is releasing a day one patch to fix her facial animation texture work.
Yeah, they say they're gonna fix other characters. I think Dante was mentioned also, but Chun-Li looks specifically bad.
Yes, just really bad. They did announce new characters, so Spider-Man, Gamora, and then Mike Hagar from Final Fight, Nemesis from Resident Evil 3, and Frank West from the Advising games. So,
I think except for, I want to say Star-Lord and Gamora, this game has exactly the same roster as Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is super fucking depressing to me.
That's sad, yeah. And no X-Men.
Yeah. Well, 3 didn't have him either.
Oh, okay. Well, that's sad, too. Well, you know, hey, at least you're getting the game, right?
I'm not.
Excited for that.
I mean, if I get it for review, I'll play it, but I'm not going to buy it, I don't think.
You're not excited for it at all?
No. Like, after Street Fighter V, first of all, no. Like, there's lost a lot of, like, cachet with people, but from step one, this game has seemed like it's been on the wrong footing. And with every character announcement and, like, feature they've talked about, it's like, boy, you guys just really, like, increasingly don't get it, do you?
Yeah, it seems like there's something lost in translation there for them.
Like, and I want it to be like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 or 1, where you just had characters that seemed completely random in the game, like Captain Commando or like Ruby Heart, or the one character I would actually want in that game is Asura from Asura's Wrath.
Oh, that'd be cool, yeah.
Especially since they did like a quasi fighting game in Asura's Wrath. He fought like, it was based on like Street Fighter 4, but he fought, I think, Akuma and Evil Ryu. And it's like, that would be an awesome character for like this game. But this game seems so like corporate synergy focused and, you know, that type of nonsense that it has like no identity whatsoever anymore.
Feels like they're just putting it out to kind of make one for this generation, and then that's...
Yeah, probably.
It's not like they really set out to, oh my god, we want to have Marvel's Capcom.
Yeah, it seems like a fairly passionless like endeavor.
Right, yeah. It's just kind of like, okay, hey, everybody get excited for this, and then you just increasingly don't get excited for it at all.
Like, I mean, it's a sequel, but like when Injustice 2 came out, like Ed Boon seemed excited about the game,
mm-hmm.
and he's like still talking about it. And like that gameplay also plays it pretty safe, but at least has like an identity and
right.
like, has like, new features in it, like that most fighting games don't have. Like this game has like Sigma and Ultron are the boss, and that's it.
Wonderful. But hey, fighting games are ruling the roost right now. For at least for June, they did Tekken 7 and Injustice 2 1-2 as the top selling games for June. Of course, there's only physical sales. No digital counted here. The hardware sales, PlayStation 4, still the best selling console. For that month, they saw a 7% increase in hardware and software from last year. So their best June ever. Grand Theft Auto 5 is still on this list, and they're number 3 of all. Good lord. This game just does not stop selling at this point. It's insane. Speaking of insane, Crash Bandicoot in 2 days in 4th. That's pretty amazing. The nostalgia pop for Crash Bandicoot happened that quickly, and that's only physical sales. I can't imagine if you had the digital in there where it could have been. ARMS right behind it, Zelda, Breath of the Wild in there, Mario Kart 8, Overwatch, NBA 2K17, and Horizon Zero Dawn. So only Tekken, Injustice, and ARMS and Crash Bandicoot actually came out in that month.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember like July is also a slow month.
Oh no, this is for June. But yeah, I mean
June. Sorry, but yeah. Like, not a ton of games came out.
both months. I mean, July is gonna be even more interesting. How what's gonna be there? Because there was not like.
It'll be GTA 5 at number one.
Probably, and actually, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands is the best selling game so far this year.
Yeah.
And For Honor is like number 3. So Ubisoft apparently gets people to buy their games, but nobody talks about them.
Yeah, I saw like a few like For Honor things. Like For Honor is getting like dedicated support, like to try to bring back people. But also like the number of people playing For Honor right now on Steam is like laughably low. It's like 1,000 people.
Goodness.
Like I'm sure. Counter-Strike, like, original Counter-Strike has, like, vastly more than that.
I wonder how many Ghost Recon actually has playing right now. I mean, I guess if it's the best-selling game, it's got to have quite a number of people playing right now, because it is a multiplayer-focused game.
Yeah, original Counter-Strike has 7,000 people playing it right now.
Jeez. It's amazing that game still...
Wildlands has 2,500 people.
That's not too bad. The are you excited for Sims 4? Finally
no.
coming to.
I think I played Sims 3 like once or twice, and I'm like, I didn't quite get it at all. And like Sims 4 doesn't seem to the legs that Sims 3 did.
No, but it seems like it's. We're Wow, it took them this long to bring it to consoles. It's coming November 17th. If for some reason you are hyped on The Sims and have a PS4 or Xbox One,
I mean,
want to play this.
You say that, but Sims 3 also took a really long time to come to consoles also. And it wasn't a great port, if I remember correctly. So they're probably trying to take their time or trying to get it right. At least hopefully. You never know with EA anymore.
They could always put it out and then patch it. Like a lot of people do.
Yeah, it works so well for SimCity.
Yeah. You don't want another one of those problems. Like, avoid that at all costs.
Yes. SimCity 4 came out in 2014. That's kind of a while.
Wow. That's, you mean, so wait, the SimCity?
No. Sims 4 came out in 2014, sorry.
Wow, so it's borderline going to be 4 years old by the time it comes out. Goodness.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like we've been waiting at least that long for the announcement that was really exciting about a week and a half ago. Wolf Among Us 2 is finally coming next year. Final season of Walking Dead, so it ends at season 4. And a season 2 of Batman, which has a subtitle that I don't remember right now.
I think the Demon Within You or something stupid like that.
Enemy with, or something. Something enemy something.
I think it's like the Enemy Within.
Might be. I still need to finish the Batman. But I loved Wolf Among Us 1. I am so happy that Wolf Among Us 2 is finally coming.
Yeah, it is the Enemy Within. Of the three announcements, I'm going to agree with you that I care about Wolf Among Us, assuming they don't fuck it up. I didn't like Batman that much, and no one cares about The Walking Dead anymore.
Yeah, I stopped at, like, season 2.
So did I.
And
I finished season 2, but it, at that point, it already seemed like it was, like, on its last legs. Like, it seemed to just kind of it was kind of just stretched too thin. And you had a bunch of characters that you just don't care about. Like, you care about Clementine to an extent, but she was also kind of barely in it. Like, she's kind of barely, like, in it for, like, a lot of it.
She's supposed to be in 3 a lot more, but
yeah, but they also introduced, like, another playable character. Like, that.
Right.
The whole thing is from his perspective. And, like, 3 came out just recently, or, like, I think it's finished recently, and, like, no one cared about it, or, like, no one talked about it, or reviewed it, or it, like, just diminishing returns for that game.
Yeah, I think it also kind of, they created way too many, like, spin-off things. Like, I got the Michonne thing, and I think I actually played through that, and then I was like, alright, I think I'm done with this now.
Yeah, it was funny, cause I think, I want to say, it might have been Batman, or what's like their last thing they did? I forget what it was.
Well, you had the Minecraft story mode thing. Telltale, the Guardians of the Galaxy is the one they're doing now. Which was actually good.
I think it might have been Guardians. I think I was trying to get like a review code for it. I think I'm like just email, and the woman was like, "We don't give out review codes," and I'm like, I was thinking to myself, like, I have a review for me shown, like from a review copy that you guys gave for One Mania, like
yeah, I have a review copy of the Minecraft story mode,
and then I looked for it and it wasn't on 4-1 Mania, and I'm like, I know I reviewed it, and then I looked around like in my hard drive and I'm like, I found the review, it was like half written, and I was like, oh, I guess I didn't finish this one.
That's funny. I probably have, I don't know how many of those, so I can't say anything.
Like, the one I really don't care about though is Batman. Like, they're going to try to make it more of an action game, and no. I don't want to play an action game in that with that game engine.
I thought it was okay, but like the lag hurts it because you're pressing the button down and.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like asking you to like do all these like swipes with the analog stick and like press certain buttons at a certain time, in like a quick fashion. Mm-hmm. But the game just can't handle it.
It's like, oh, yep, our engine does not do these. It still has the same problems.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're ever going to change that, but people keep buying them, so.
I mean, do they?
They got to keep making these deals, right? Because people are buying these.
Yeah, but even like Guardians, like I just hear like no buzz about that game at all, and I'm sure it's good, but
I still like, keep wondering if I want to buy the other two episodes or not.
Like Minecraft Season 2 is already out, and like who like I saw like no reviews of that when it came out.
Oh wow, I actually liked that, and I just
It came out three weeks ago.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I remember liking that. I never played the second part of season one because they released like three extra episodes or whatever. But
yeah.
I did like if not being a Minecraft fan, I could deal with it like that. Just I don't know. I can see why people are starting. It's starting to sort of just all kind of run together.
Like that's why I think like Life is Strange really caught people. Like just aside from the fact that it was a new interesting setting for a game, like a good story, but it had a lot of the same aspects as like a Telltale game, but it felt a lot more fresh.
Right, and it had the different dynamic of the going back in time and
yeah,
that thing too, which I think helped a lot. Created a different gameplay dynamic than the one that's in the, you know, same thing in the Telltale game.
Also, I would rather have Tales from the Borderlands 2 than, like, Game of Thrones Season 2.
Oh, they shouldn't even make a Game of Thrones Season 2. The first one was not good. That's probably one of their worst ones, was Game of Thrones, the fat first season.
Didn't it have, like, one or two characters from the show for like
yeah, like Lena Headey and
Dinklage, what's this? I think.
Yeah, Dinklage show up in there. They make appearances
for like 2 minutes, and then they just
yeah, leave. Exactly. So for like 2-3 minutes, and it's just like nope.
Like the problem really with like something like that versus like The Walking Dead is. The Walking Dead has almost infinite story potential because you can just go to a different city and, yo, zombies. But
well, plus it also has comics to draw from that don't, and there are still characters that have not appeared on the TV show, so you don't have to worry about that.
But from what I understand, Game of Thrones is a pretty centralized story.
Right, like they had to pull this ridiculous. Like, oh, this is a short story about this one family that, like, nobody's probably read unless you're an absolute diehard of Game of Thrones. So, it's a sense of, like, a new story, basically, that they made up. And then they tried to bring it into some of the other characters, and it didn't work. Dying Light's getting free DLC, and they're going to get DLC for the next year. You have that game, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think they said, like, new locations and enemies and quests. I mean, I imagine it'll be kind of, like, a lot of, like, I wouldn't say half-assed, but just kind of, like, a lot of, like, not important stuff. But. Like, I don't see Dead Island 2 anytime soon, so this is probably what they gotta do.
Probably. Like, yeah.
Remember Dead Island 2? Like, that was supposed to be out this year, or, like, last year or something, and...
Let's just, not. And say we... Didn't they cancel it?
they took it from the developer, like the original developer, and they gave it to someone else. And then since then, there's been like no news.
So it's like in just hiatus.
Yeah. It's like Crackdown 3.
Yeah. So Crackdown is going to come out.
So they say.
It's launching with the Xbox One X. I don't think it's not coming out now. But hey, you know, I don't know that it's going to do great, but it's going to be there, at least. The Call of Duty, they did show a trailer for it at Comic-Con, which that's one of the ones I did not watch, just because I don't really care about the zombies thing.
I watched it, and none of these people were in the trailer. They just announced them, like, also. They're like, oh, we also have these people in this game.
Like, oh, yeah, probably would have wanted to see their faces, but, of course, the ones I know are David Tennant, obviously Doctor Who, and Ving Rhames from movies that you remember in the 90s. But the other three, I have no idea who they are.
The other three are Catherine Winnick. I don't really know her. Udo Kier, you'd know him. He's like a, I think he's a German actor. He's been in a ton of shit. He always plays kind of a creepy guy.
Oh, okay. I probably would know him, yeah.
And the final one is Elodie Young. She was Elektra in Daredevil Season 2.
I still need to finish Season 1.
Okay. She's good. She is one of the better parts of Daredevil, let's just say that. So,
are you excited for the Defenders?
Yeah. I think Jeffrey like reviewed a few episodes and he seemed to like it. I think they're going to try to fix Iron Fist a little. But I mean, I like those characters to begin with. So, I mean, spending more time with them is good.
Yeah. I think the team up may also just help. So you're not having to focus so much on Iron Fist and all that, you know. You can kind of bury him in with the other characters, or he might fit better.
And yeah, like I want more Marvel crap. So the more they feed it to me, I'm happy.
And yeah, I think that's where we're gonna get into the course. You know, with Comic-Con having happened, there's gonna be a lot more entertainment stuff to go around. So this is where we sort of end on the game stuff, but lots of trailers, of course, as you'd expect. I love the Thor Ragnarok one. I think this is probably the most excited I've been for a Thor movie.
Ever?
Yeah, out of the three. I mean, having Hulk in there doesn't, you know, obviously helps as well. Ready Player One looks really cool. You can immediately tell Steven Spielberg has something to do with this movie. It has his fingerprints all over in the trailer.
I thought, I know the book is terrible from what I've understood from other people on Twitter. I thought the trailer looked okay, but really dark. Like they're really trying to hide the CGI in some of those shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's good. Just, I'm not gonna.
It's a vastly different movie, but I'm not quite sure why I got this comparison. But it reminded me of Forrest Gump.
Really?
Just because, like, this one character is interacting with all these, like, famous, like, icons.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Did you like the Justice League? 5 minutes.
No. It still looks like crap. Like, it looks just like there's no color in that trailer. Even the ship that should have color looks desaturated to hell.
It's very dark. Say that.
Like the only thing that had color was, like, Cyborg's eye, and Cyborg's terrible in that movie.
Yeah, it's... You get to see Jason Momoa doing Aquaman.
Yeah, there was like a shot of him like going through a building or something. It looked terrible, I thought.
I'm like, all right. Ben Affleck.
Stop.
Ben Affleck was just very.
Well, there's rumors about him like leaving or like not being happy, and I don't like.
Yeah, he's gonna do the one movie, the first Batman. See, I don't see the point of having him do the first Batman movie if he's not gonna do the other two. If that new director wants to make a trilogy as well, why the hell are you gonna have two different Batmans for the trilogy?
They'll be like, he got cosmetic surgery, and now it's Christian Bale again.
Oh God! Could you imagine Christian Bale?
And there's also a bunch of reports over the past 2 days about like Justice League reshoots and like Henry.
Yeah, Joss Whedon changing things.
And, yeah, which is kind of hilarious to me.
Always problems with the. I mean, thankfully Wonder Woman was great, or they'd really just. Still had this bad string of things, which I think just Wonder Woman just surpassed Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
And money.
It's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
Like, Guardians 2 is probably a better movie.
Yeah, it seems rather divisive in, like, people either really didn't like that it was more emotional and had more character. They wanted more of the first one, and they kind of don't understand that when you get to a second movie, you're going to have less of that. But
yeah, I mean, it still, you know, made a bunch of money. So
I really liked the Kingsman. This sort of felt like they were doing like a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen ish.
It reminded me of that RIPD movie.
That too. Yes.
Because, like, the British spy, the kid at the British spy is fine. But, like, having a bunch of, like, caricature cowboys as spies.
Yeah.
Like, does not work.
That was, and, like, about four or five of them were cowboys. And, like, and it's like, whoa, okay.
And, like, one of them had an energy lasso, and it's like, what is going on here?
Yeah, they even make a joke, like, oh, you have a rope. He's just like, it's a lasso.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's a rope, man. It's a rope. I didn't see the ones for Star Trek or The Bright, but...
Like, Bright looked kind of cheesy.
What is that?
It's a Will Smith movie where he's a cop, and, like, L.A., but, like, there's, like, magical creatures and shit. His partner, I think, is, like, an orc, I think, or something like that. And they're hunting down, like, some evil magician, or, like, some evil something or other.
That sounds cheesy.
And Star Trek Discovery looked fine, except for, like, they are really trying to tie it in to start, like, the Star Trek TV show, or, like, the canon. So... The main character is a human, I don't know her name, but she's a human raised on Vulcan, raised by Spock's parents, and is his, like, stepsister or something. And it's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, you don't need to tie that into the...
Like, I would be fine if it was... Human raised on Vulcan, fine. Raised by other Vulcans, okay. You don't need to tie her into Spock.
No, you don't. But
like, not,
they felt
not
the need.
I think I saw an interview with one of the writers was like, "Oh, we're going to we explain how this is like it's not going to break canon," and it's like you could have not broken canon by having to be someone else. Instead of like some really half-assed, it came before Spock, you know, explanation or something.
You know, some. I think they just want to have that tie and didn't really think about so much what it really means.
I did see an interview with Brian Fuller, the guy who like created the show but left it. to do American Gods, where like he kind of seemed a little bitter about the show.
Why?
Because he wanted to do like an anthology show, like every season it would be like a different group of characters and or you know different ship and everything like that, and like I think CBS shut him down. And he also wanted Edgar Wright to direct the pilot, and it's like, first of all, you're not going to get Edgar Wright to direct like this piece of shit. Like that's crazy talk.
That's not even on CBS proper.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about Zack Snyder, thank God, is leaving after Justice League due to some family issues. Probably better for him, because he doesn't really do great movies for them.
I mean, ideally, Joss Whedon would slip into that role, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. We'll see how the first one goes, right? I mean, he might have a little bit less red tape than he did with Disney, so
maybe. I mean, I'm actually kind of looking forward to Justice League, where it's going to be like 80% dark and gritty, and then like there'll just be like one or two, like there'll be scenes where like Superman has like a colorful suit, and I'll be like, oh, Joss Whedon directed this scene, okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing the ending was sort of alluding to Superman showing up.
It's either that or Detective Chimp, and I really hope it's Detective Chimp. If it's that, if it's Detective Chimp, I'm going to see that movie 10 times.
I have to think it's probably not.
That's why. That's how they lose me.
Also,
one last thing I'll mention is that Justice League trailer, the bad guy looks terrible.
Yes. Like,
could you pick a more obscure villain than Steppenwolf as like the fucking villain of this Justice League movie? Come on, people.
I know, right? Like, come on.
Unless it's going to be the band, which would be awesome then.
No, but it's not.
It's like, oh, a meaning of Darkseid. It's like, okay, who knows this character?
Like, diehards of DC, and that's about it. Cause...
like, you couldn't get, like, Lex Luthor. I mean, you already kind of ruined him from Superman. Batman vs. Superman. Or, like, Darkseid. Or Brainiac.
One of the zillion Batman villains?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he will probably know about half the Batman villains before they know Steppenwolf.
No, I would say people know 80% of the Batman villains.
Well, plus, you know, a lot of them are in Gotham, too. So,
like, he might not know Condiment King, which is fine, even though he's the best Batman villain ever. But most people know, like, Catwoman or Poison Ivy or Two-Face.
Hell, you could have done Scarecrow or something, and it would have been...
yeah.
You know, if you want to go with the dark theme... But, hey, you know, you choose what you choose at that point. If you're DC and Warner Brothers and all that, I don't know who came down to, let's use Steppenwolf, but, hey, whatever works for you. Christopher Nolan is not a big fan of Netflix's model of them doing the streaming and then having it there. He feels like they're trying to kill the theater, whereas Amazon has that 90-day window where they allow the film to be in the theater and then it shows up on Amazon. I feel like Christopher Nolan is kind of just being angry for no reason. I don't think that there's nothing. It doesn't matter how great your home theater system gets. There's nothing that's gonna beat the theater experience.
Well, he talked. I mean. Looking at the thing, you talked about the 70mm thing, which is always a thing that, like, Quentin Tarantino rants about. And it's like, three people care about this bullshit. You, Tarantino, and maybe Martin Scorsese. That's about it. Like, I don't know about you. I don't see going to, like, the theater as a positive experience, by and large.
It's cool to go, but
the money you have
to shell out.
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning. You have a kid. So if you wanted to see like an R-rated film, you're not going to take her, first of all, probably.
Right.
So you have to like arrange babysitting with your mom or someone else. Going to the theater like at night is probably like $15. Buying food at the theater is probably $30.
Right, yeah.
You know, and then if you want, like, let's say, like, you're going to see, like, you know, Wreck-It Ralph 2 with your daughter, you know, in the daytime or something, that's, you know, $20 for the tickets, and then food for her and food for you, possibly, and you're looking at, like, $50.
Mm.
And, like, fuck that. I'd rather see the film at my, you know, on my laptop as I'm playing Final Fantasy 12.
Well, I mean, I can sit there and watch it at home on the Blu-ray player on the PS4, and make me something to eat, and I just saved a bunch of money and I paid $1 at Redbox. I mean,
yeah, like I can understand the theoretical appeal of like going to like an IMAX theater or something like that, but most people don't have that type of money to blow on like a theater anymore.
Yeah, it's the same thing why. Like Red Lobsters and Olive Garden does okay because they've kind of adjusted with the times.
Yeah,
but like all these other places that haven't, they're starting to go out of business because people don't do that anymore. Where they go in and spend, especially like people our age, they don't go in and spend $50 a pop to eat.
Yeah,
at night on a date like that.
I didn't spend the money. My friend thankfully paid for it, but I went to a Cheesecake Factory like a few weeks ago, and it was me and her. The bill was $45.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I remember doing that when I was in like college, and I'm sitting here going, "Why?"
Yeah.
So,
like, I think. If you have like a bunch of people together, like going to the theater can be like a good experience and stuff. But I mean, who care? Like, I'm just not that interested in the social experience anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just going out to eat, going to a movie, pretty much sort of doing anything that's not the regular everyday. Gets out of hand.
I'm lucky enough to have a very cheap theater by my place where they get new movies in, and like a matinee is like $5.
Oh, that's not bad.
But like that's a rarity now, like compared to most theaters.
I think mine that's not too far away from me does like $7.50.
Yeah,
for matinee, which still isn't too bad compared to like the $12 or whatever they'll charge you at night. So
yeah, and I think I also saw something recently that like IMAX has finally realized that people don't give a fuck about 3D movies anymore.
Oh yeah, God, nobody wants to wear those glasses.
Yeah,
like yeah, I mean I'm surprised that they're doing the thing with the Inhumans. With the showing the first two episodes on those things.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Whatever works for you there. But, yeah, I mean, look, Christopher Nolan's using his power as a director to speak his mind. I get it, but this is the way a lot of things are now. And this is how it is.
Yeah. And I'm happier to like have Netflix, or to watch something on like Netflix than on TV most of the time.
Yeah, because you can just get it, watch it, pause, play whenever you want to, go back and watch all episodes, and you know, it's whatever.
I gotta continue watching Glow.
How you liking it?
I was fine. I watched only one of the like 3/4 of the first episode, but it seemed good, and I liked. I kind of liked the subtle joke that Noah knew who John Morris, like the John Morrison's character's name.
Yeah, that's a weird name.
I was just like real life.
Yeah, you know, the small amount of people that watch Lucha Underground. Which, that's supposedly getting a season 4 at this point, but we'll see how that goes. Speaking of Netflix, Matt Groening is coming back to making a series, and it's going to be on Netflix this time. It's called Disenchantment, and they're going to be doing 2 seasons, 10 episodes each, and it's basically like a medieval setting, but like it's basically like a joke, and it's going to be animated, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, it's called Dreamland. It's the misadventures of a hard-drinking princess named Bean and her personal demon Lucy and an elf companion Elfo. And there's all sorts of, you know, magical creatures. And it's about life, death, love, and sex, and how to keep laughing at a world full of suffering idiots, despite what the elders and wizards and other jerks will tell you. All right, sign me up. You got me already. It sounds silly, but yeah, you know it'll be good. I don't know how much of a Futurama and Simpsons person you are, but
I enjoy Futurama. I don't like. I think parts of it were great. Parts of like the later Comedy Central seasons weren't great. And I love the Simpsons up to season 10, and then they should have canceled the show.
Yeah. Still going, and it's not as good. And they are going to bring back releasing the DVDs now.
Yeah, I think season 18 just got announced recently.
Yeah.
Like, I actually had seasons 1 through 10 on DVD.
So did I. I think I had all the way up to 12, and then I stopped.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah.
It's just, they're not... I think I saw... Well, I liked reading, like, the, you know, top 50 episodes of Simpsons, or, like, top 20 episodes. 25 episodes. It's like there's not an episode past season 8.
Yeah, because they started going downhill after that. I mean, it's just it's like almost anything long running though. That's so hard to just do for that many episodes and that many seasons a year.
I would say yeah, but I would also say have the quiet dignity to go out on top and not ruin the legacy.
Yeah, not keep doing it because, like, Fox needs to keep doing it. Like, with as much as Fox cancels shows, it's amazing that they've kept The Simpsons on this long.
The interesting thing to me is, like, Family Guy had kind of the same arc as The Simpsons, only it was much quicker.
Well, yeah, because their jokes are all parody jokes.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, seasons 1 through 3 of Family Guy are actually really good, I think. Like, they're a lot slower, but they're a lot more story-focused to an extent. And, like, not as, like, cruel and mean. Mm-hmm. And then after Family Guy got canceled and then came back, the show just got, like, really bitter and, like, chew up its own ass. And it's just, like, I think after it came back, it's just not good anymore, period. Like, it hasn't been good ever since then.
I think it had that 1 year where it came back where it was still good, and then after that it tailed off, like, really
yeah.
Bad. Let's see, what else is there from... I found this sort of interesting just because this movie now has this kind of lore around it, because they don't sell it here anymore.
Oh, I thought you meant the Emoji Movie.
No, the Whoopi Goldberg wanting the Song of the South to be sold in the United States again. That's different. I mean, I guess it would have to come from an African-American person saying that, right? That it's okay. They want to be able to talk about it, and they want to be able to have it be expressed.
To an extent, but also she was the one who had Ted Anson... introduced her in, like, blackface, like, years ago. When they were, like, dating. It's like, that didn't go over too well.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure she should have known better. She also wants the Black Crows to be sold as merchandise more often, the ones from Dumbo. And, well, I don't know if that's going to happen either, but, you know, she is a Disney legend now, so I guess she feels like she can just speak her mind about these things. And, like, honestly, you know, I wouldn't mind if they started selling it again. I think if you sort of explain that we want to release this for people to decide whether they want to buy it or not. And it's like one of those old live-action Disney movies. Like, the amount of people that are really going to go out there and buy this thing is, I think it'd be small anyway. So,
yeah, you know. I mean, I just look at it as like a historical curiosity and nothing else.
Right.
Like, and I actually did have, Inga had the record as a kid.
Well, yeah, like Zippity Doodle, they still do it today. It's their main theme song, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, like, that song, you can't watch the movie it's from, but that song's everywhere when you go to, like, Disney parks and stuff, so.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird. Speaking of historical, the Game of Thrones producers are going to make an alternative timeline of the Civil War, and it's going to be called, it's supposed to be called Confederate, and yeah, like it was going to show all the events leading up to the Civil War. I'm assuming that if it goes multiple seasons, they'll eventually have to show the Civil War itself.
I thought it was like an alternate reality present day show.
It's an alternate timeline that tells the events leading up to the Third American Civil War.
That's what I meant. Like, I thought like now or something.
Okay. Never mind. I'm confused. Yeah. They just used the Confederate name, and I'm thinking, you know, going back to.
There was a movie, I want to say 10 years ago, maybe probably longer, called The Confederate States of America. I don't think it really came out in theaters. You can find it on YouTube if you want. But it's a Black director and writer. He basically it's like a mockumentary of like, what if the Civil War won? Or what if the Confederates won the Civil War?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's very low budget, but it's like really, like, it's interesting to like look at, like compared to like, especially things nowadays.
I just kind of want to watch it just from the perspective of.
Yeah, it came out in 2004. And, like, it's not. It's, like I said, it's low budget, but it's, like, they have, like, a lot of historical things from it to an extent. And, like, it's interesting to, like, see some of, like, his take on, like, popular, like, folklore, I guess, or, you know, Americana stuff. Like, Elvis Presley, like, leaves America and goes to Canada, and there's, like, a great wall across the northern border of Canada.
Ha! Huh. Nice. I might have to go check that out for sure. But, I mean, this being from them, you know it's going to be really good. I'm sort of interested. It's not going to air probably till 2019 when Game of Thrones final season is done, which makes sense. They got a lot going into that. But
Do you watch Game of Thrones, right?
Yes.
I saw someone on Twitter recently, someone I like. She used to do, like I think, episode YouTube video, like review episodes on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And someone asked her, like, are you going to do this current season? And she's like, no, because the writers are bad of the show. And I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I'm thinking, I don't know if they're good or bad. That's one thing. But at least they can come out with episodes. Like, I haven't seen that last Game of Thrones book at all. Have you?
Yeah. Speaking of, he did say that he's halfway or three-fourths done with the sixth book.
It's only been like 10 years.
Yeah, at this point, I think he's also writing a fiction of how the Targaryens came about, and that actually might come out before the sixth book. He said, for sure you're getting something in 2018, perhaps both of them, if not for sure 2019, it's like, do you know how old you are? Like, you know, this dude at this point, with all, he has had health problems and everything else. Like, obviously, I think he's in that I don't give a crap mode, whether something happens to him or not, and the series doesn't end. I would assume that he has somebody else that he's sort of told things to, that perhaps if something happens to him, they could write the seventh book to finish the series, but...
That'll be the writer of the show.
Yeah, at this point, they could probably do just as good a job. I don't know what she's talking about. I've enjoyed all the episodes that they've shown so far of the season, and this season's short. It's only 7 episodes, so it kind of sets things in motion for that final season to happen and everything just be crazy. So,
yeah.
Speaking of crazy, I didn't think I'd be seeing I think some of these I did just because, you know, they're doing that Netflix series of at least Full House, but Hulu has gotten the rights to Full House, Family Matters, Step by Step, Perfect Strangers, and Hang with Mr. Cooper in their entireties. Starting in September, you're going to be able to watch all of these, September 29th. That's pretty awesome. I watched a lot of Hanging with Mr. Cooper and Family Matters when I was a kid.
What about Mr. Belvedere? Ask no one ever.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. Like, are you sort of...
I mean, I don't think that stuff has aged well, but... And I don't have Hulu, so it doesn't really matter to me. But I guess it's cool. Like, I watched, like, a lot of Perfect Strangers and Family Matters as a kid. And even, like, a lot of Step by Step to an extent.
Yeah, I think at some point, like, you couldn't turn on TV in the 90s and not have one of these shows be on.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, so... It is kind of cool to be able to relive that nostalgia. And then, you know, they got Seinfeld last year, so they're really going through the 90s at this point. And
I want them to have period accurate commercials.
That would be great. But sadly, they won't. Are you, November 21st is when, the Runaways series premieres. Are you excited about that at all?
I'll try to watch it, but I'm not like that interested in it. Cause like the cast seems kind of, I don't want to say lacking, but like pandering.
Yeah. They're really going to have to do a good job of acting in that show.
Cause like, two of the characters, like, one of the characters is supposed to be, like, a young blonde girl, and they changed her to be, like, I want to say Spanish, like, girl. And it's, like, okay. And,
it's the affirmative action casting.
To an extent, yeah. And, like, another girl, she's green in the comic. And I don't see any green characters in the photos they've released.
Nope. Maybe she turns green later?
Maybe. I think she's supposed to be green, though.
But, you know, it's their TV show. I guess they get to decide what they want to do with it.
I'll give it a shot, just because I'll watch any Marvel crap, except for maybe Inhumans, but...
You know you're going to wind up watching it.
I'm going to watch it. I will watch it more out of morbid curiosity and wanting to have a laugh than anything else.
It's still watching it. I would love to see them.
Yeah, go on.
Go ahead. I was going to say I would love to see Haley Atwell talked about if they could wrap up. Damn it, what was the thing she did?
Agent Carter?
Yeah, if they could wrap up her Agent Carter in a movie.
Yeah, Yeah.
I mean, it would probably have to be like a Hulu or Netflix movie. I don't think they would do a, you know, a whole like Marvel feature length thing with her, but.
Oh, no. What I was going to say, though, is, yeah, there was a character on Runaways called Molly Hayes, and they turned her into Molly Hernandez. And it's like, all right.
Why? That seems really unnecessary. Darkwing Duck's going to be in the DuckTales, so I know you got to be excited.
I hope they get that voice actor back. Like, but it should be good. Like, I like Darkwing Duck a lot, actually.
I think that's cool to get to see him, so I'm down with that.
I hope at least like a new Darkwing Duck show.
We can dream, right? Perhaps.
Actually, the show I want them to bring back is Gargoyles.
I would love to see that. I'm surprised nobody's tried with this, you know, dark and gritty as people like shows now. So
I would be way into a Kingdom Hearts Gargoyles world.
That would be amazing. You kind of get a little bit of it with when they do like Hercules and stuff, but I think they could do better if they did a whole Gargoyles thing. But that's if I wonder if with Kingdom Hearts 3 if they would think about releasing DLC and having different worlds and stuff.
I would say yes.
I'd kind of feel weird though. Like I kind of would want them to wait until the next.
Pay us for the Frozen world.
Basically. Would not be surprised at all at this point if that's what happened. So, I think aside from discussing games here, you have the Sundered game that came out today. Hey Pikmin came out today. You have Tacoma that comes out next week, which I'm still waiting to hear back from Fulbright on if that winds up we get that in or not. Senmora X, the remake,
woo,
or remaster, coming next week as well. Then a new Nintendo 2DS XL came out today. Everybody run out there and
buy that. Inferior version of a great console.
The Miitopia game came out today too. So, there you go. A 3DS, you got some games there.
Now I just need to get a 3DS.
Are you really going to get a 3DS though?
I mean, if I had the money, I might get one.
That's a long list of games you got to go buy though.
I'm sure piracy's gotten to some point on the 3DS that would not be a huge issue anymore.
I guess we'll see at this point. But, yeah, lots of stuff coming in the next few weeks, though. It's August, and things are about to start getting hot and heavy pretty quick.
Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah, you get the Uncharted. It's coming out towards the end of August. You get Agents of Mayhem coming out in the middle. Hellblade comes out in a few weeks, along with Lawbreakers. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, I think, for some of those. So, yep, getting ready for this big set of, you know, to start the fall season here.
I don't. But there's not that many big fall games I'm like that excited for, except for like Assassin's Creed and Mordor. That's about it.
Oh, really?
For me, anyway.
But all right, I think that's gonna do it for us for this episode. Hopefully, you enjoyed what you heard here. If you do, hit subscribe on the Video Games to the Max feed, or if you want to listen to everything else that I do. You can listen. You can just subscribe to WTO Network. Go visit WTONet.com for things that we write, or, you know, I'll get back on the, finally, these tournaments and everything else are ending. I can get back to, you know, writing game stuff and editing game stuff.
You could just not review a tournament once in a while.
That too. At least I'm only doing it on podcast form and not writing it, which would take forever. But yeah, until we will be back hopefully next week. See you later, everybody.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.